Hello, welcome to episode 12 of Camberwell Conversations, and I've got a bit of a treat for you today. This one has been in the pipeline for such a long time. Long before I ever stopped procrastinating on launching the podcast, this was one of the first episode outlines that I drew up and one of the first people that I spoke to about launching the podcast, Bryce Bell. Bryce and I have been friends for just over 3 years now, based after we met through fitness Instagram and fitness YouTube. And throughout that time, Bryce has been one of the driving forces of positive change and positive action within my career and life in general, really. So I hope to bring some of that energy and positivity to this conversation that you tune into now. And if you can take even a couple of things away from this episode that will make you work harder, work smarter, and achieve more, then that'll be a big win for both Bryce and I. Bryce's journey is a really interesting one, and he's achieved a lot at the age of just 24. So lots and lots to unpack from this episode and lots to go into. I really hope you enjoy it. And yeah, I'm just delighted to be sharing it with you. Let's go. Hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Camberwell Conversations with your host, Colin Campbell. Today, I'm joined by my good friend, Bryce Bell. Bryce is a Navy veteran, engineer, business owner, and former YouTube and Instagram fitness sensation. Bryce, welcome to the podcast.
Colin Campbell, talk to me. It's overdue, my friend. It's overdue.
Yeah, I'm super pleased to have you on, Bryce, and I know your content creation days are behind you, but I think there's a lot that you can bring to the podcast just with the life experience that you've got at a young age and the mindset that you've got. I think it's something that's worthwhile putting out there. And you and I have so many chats together with myself and you, and sometimes my brother as well. And yeah, the motivation that we both gain from that is huge. So if we can share even a tenth of that with the people that tune into this podcast, then it'll be a worthwhile venture.
Honestly, Colin, but you know what it's like when me, you, and your brother Ian even go for a gym session and a coffee. How long does it last? It lasts like 8 hours. We've got so much to talk about. We've all got so much to give. And we've always said for maybe even around 2 years now, how much value that we could potentially give to a wider audience. So it's good that you've got the platform.
Yeah, that's it. In terms of that background then that I've given on you, Bryce, in terms of where you've been, and we can go into each section in turn. Let's start with regards to fitness, because that seems like it was very much the basis for where you've gotten to now. I don't know if you would agree.
As you preach, Colin, the amount of attributes that you develop and characteristics from consistently going to the gym to train, it really built for me a foundation of, you know, this for me is like a selfish desire to just be successful and be better. And a lot of your guests have said before that the gym's a very entry-level way of doing that. So, and it actually ties into my early military career as well, because I only started to go to the gym to better my fitness, you know. And for example, you were rugby, so you went to the gym to train and you eventually became bigger, stronger, and therefore you performed better in your sport of rugby. So for me, it was fitness to join the military, and quickly realised, man, the results I'm getting from training are such a higher reward than just the fitness at that stage. Because what, I was 17 when I started doing this, so I started to see the delts come in, man, and I was like, this is for me. I'm a bit of this.
That's it. And like you say, you start it with the intention of passing the fitness test to get into the Navy to meet that minimum standard, but the aesthetic benefits started to come, and I know that you were someone that it just became like supercharged you in terms of your lifestyle. And if that sounds far-fetched to people listening, that's fine. You maybe just haven't found that right element of fitness for you yet. And
yeah,
I guess what were some of the influences that started to drive you in those initial stages of lifting, Bryce?
You know, when I was younger, maybe like 16, I can remember one time in particular, I went to a house party, and there was a group of guys at this house party who all trained, right? And they all knew, I never knew who Z's was at this time, and we'll go into Z's. I think he's mentioned in every podcast, mate. And at the time, these guys knew who Z's were. They had that look, like spiky hair gel hair, mate, like quiffs of solid 8 inches of wet look. But to me at the time, I wasn't involved in training, I seen this. And that was definitely an influence for me. And just the way that they act and carried themselves, I could see that they were confident. And I was like, you know, I've never been an overly confident person. And I feel like that would be definitely, like I've said already, a really low entry level in terms of effort and time that you can rapidly increase just your mindset and your confidence and your demeanour. So that was a big influence for me. And obviously through that, I came across Z's when I started to research on YouTube, Mike Chang six-pack workouts. And then you see in the thumbnail, this guy with, again, a solid 8-inch quiff. I'm like, who's this guy? And it just opened up another outlet of what this could be for me, like a lifestyle.
That's it. So you saw these guys who had a bit more muscle, they're a bit older, they had this big hair, like you've said, they had maybe a bit of a tan. They looked a bit different to your average Scottish guy, didn't they? And the way they carried themselves, like you say, was different. And this will sound quite shallow to a lot of people listening, but ultimately, you were like, these guys are like high agency. They're like aesthetic. Mm. They're confident. They are what I would like to be, because I'm the shy 16-year-old.
Well, that's it, man.
And you probably went onto YouTube, like you said. You found the videos. You saw Mike Chang, who, in terms of actual advice, we're talking really well. But in terms of physique, fantastic physique, which allowed him to sell whatever he was selling.
Marketing.
That's it. So that kind of aesthetic look was something that caught your eye from a young age. And then you started the gym, you started lifting, you were probably binge watching YouTube videos of Z's. And for the listeners that don't know, like, tell us a wee bit about what Z's was up to. I know you said you saw his videos, but what was going on?
So that's hard to kind of summarize, but I would say Z's is like this young guy, and he puts up this content, and it's just on like a bloody old Samsung video phone, you know, at the time when he was uploading his content. But it was just like these rough videos of him hyped up listening to music with his brother and his friends, like that brotherhood kind of that vibe. And they're all into training, they all look great, they're looking after their appearance, but it's not that. There is a little bit more to it than that. It's they're actually trying to inspire all these young guys to have the confidence to understand that you can be better and you can improve your lifestyle drastically if you want, and that choice is available for all these young people who want to do that. And I think he was actually at university studying as well. He seemed like quite an articulate guy at the same time, but that obviously wasn't the main driver for a 16-year-old, 17-year-old guy who's watching him. He was getting girls, he was out partying, he looked like he just had this lifestyle that people aspire to have, you know?
Yeah, when you're a young guy, you're super impressionable, and he looked like he was living this lifestyle. And I think when you're talking about the kind of brotherhood and movement he was starting, it was kind of known as the aesthetics revolution, wasn't it? Because
yeah.
Before that, fitness in terms of like lifting weights was either a performance sport where you were like maybe a powerlifter, or it was that kind of bodybuilding where the guys are like dry as anything, like that kind of bubble gut, roid gut look. Or it's like that natural bodybuilding where the guys are like super lean, kind of a wee bit stringy looking. He instead was this kind of hybrid version between an athlete and a bodybuilder, where he had this aesthetic physique. And it was something that straight away caught my eye, caught your eye. And you were like, I would like to look like that. I would get more girls. I would feel better about myself. I'd be more confident. Yeah. I would be more successful in all areas of my life, which is crazy when you think about it now, but I wouldn't trade that kind of initial driver of my training
for anything. I mean, obviously reflecting now that we're a little bit older, like I really do cringe at some of the content that I maybe posted regarding Z's, or just Z's in general, what some of the stuff that he was putting out. But we cannot deny, Colin, as cringe as it was, how it made us feel at the beginning of training stages. I used to, no joke, Colin, have goosebumps and butterflies after working in Currys PC World for 9 hours, driving up to my local council gym where no one ever was. It was just me and my massive Bluetooth speaker that I had to plug into the wall, man. Like, just me, no one else. And see, that, I mean, who gets butterflies going to train after like a 9 hour shift at Currys, man? Like, that's how it made me feel at the time. So there's definitely value in it for them younger guys getting into training. Go look up Z's, man. Jesus.
Yeah, that's it, Bryce, because I think we all need to find our sources that get us started and push us along the way. And I found Z's. I also found some educational sources which definitely benefited my approach to training. But in terms of raw motivation for going and lifting and that enthusiasm for it, and that, we've spoken about it, euphoria of going and lifting and having that hype, it was a fantastic source. Was that what your training was always geared towards? Looking like him, looking more like these guys?
Yeah, 100%. Because I was naturally a skinny, really skinny guy. And it was one of them that I was quite athletic. I liked sport, but I never really channeled it into anything other than rugby. I played rugby for 11 years, quite a high level as well. But when I started to be skinny, and the guys, do you know, at that stage where people grow, have a beard at 14 and they're like 6 foot, but people just don't develop at the same time. I started to get injuries and I just kind of dropped out of it because the enjoyment wasn't there. But the gym for me was the aesthetic side of it for sure, because when you're quite lean and if you're training consistently, Colin, at that age and you've never lifted weights before, man, like the reaction that happens to your body, the results that you get are crazy. And I was in there 6-7 days a week, and I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that's what I wanted to do. It made me feel amazing. I was in the gym with my hands in the air, like, it sounds cringy, man, but like in the mirror, like, you're the man, like in my own little haven. Like, I got so much from it. And even now when I drive past that gym, I'm looking up and I'm like, you know, yeah, like that's my haven.
Feels when you see it. Yeah, that's that's amazing. So I guess alongside those aesthetics, you started to feel more confident in yourself from how you looked. And again, if that sounds shallow to the listeners, don't deny that everyone has a goal to look a little bit better, maybe have a little bit more muscle, be a little bit leaner, because it does have a good impact on your headspace. What were the kind of things that started to do for you in terms of your approach to just life outside of lifting and life outside of Currys?
Oh, there's so much to transfer as well, because before the gym, I didn't see myself as like a motivated guy. I didn't see myself as like an inspired guy who wanted to achieve much. I kind of just thought to myself, oh, like, I kind of just want a little bit of money and I want a job where like I'm okay. Like, I never had dreams. I never had these inspirations that frequently came into my head. But I don't know. It's like it opened like a tell. I don't know. It opened up something for me and it just changed the way I looked at stuff. Because Bryce, I was putting in this,
would you say it was a launch pad?
100%. It was like a door, man. It was a launch pad as well. But like when I started training, it made me realise like I'm putting in effort, like hard graft, man, and I'm getting a lot out of it. If I could like transfer that effort consistently into anything else, surely I must get results. And obviously we made mistakes in training. And you're going to make mistakes in anything that you put all this effort into, but that's the learning curve. And with an early career at 17, like even just joining the military, I could transfer so much that I learned from the gym into the start of my military career. Just basic fundamentals of what you need to do to get what you want. It's that simple.
We've spoken about this before. What are some of those fundamentals? Like you said there, hard work, consistency. What was your early military career like, and why did you go through that process so quickly in the military, maybe faster than some of your peers?
Because ultimately it came down to responsibility, and we say these words a lot, and sometimes I try and not say them because we repeat ourselves a lot, but it just goes to show how important these traits actually are. So stuff like responsibility and accountability, they're like the two main things that I just try and remind myself of all the time. And with the gym, no one gives a fuck if you don't go to the gym. In fact, they probably get a little bit of pleasure out of it. Like your colleagues, when I was at Currys and I tell them that I'm not going to the gym, they'd probably be like, oh, you get your feet up, mate. Like, chill out. You've worked hard today. So some people actually get a little bit of pleasure out of that. But at the end of the day, I told myself, no one gives a fuck. Like, I need to take full responsibility for where I am. Like, my circumstances are completely irrelevant. I take accountability for where I am, and I'm taking accountability for where I need to go. So yeah, that's quite simple to apply into your career and your job, you know?
And you took that mindset into your military career. And you speak about circumstances there, Bryce, and this is something that you and I didn't really cover that much when we first got to know each other through fitness Instagram, fitness YouTube.
Yeah.
What were your circumstances like, and where did you come from, and like, what was that like? Because you sometimes don't like talking about this. I know you don't, in terms of people maybe assuming that you maybe came from a head start, but that's not the case at all in my view.
No. I mean, disclaimer, my parents are amazing, you know, really amazing. Such loving, caring parents. And I did have a good upbringing, but in terms of where I come from, I mean, I come from a council estate, and me and my family of eight of us, we all lived in a three-bedroom, semi-detached council house. I shared a room with my two sisters. You know, it was crazy to live in that house at times. Amazing, you know, for character building, we'll say that.
Yeah, and you were a loving family, which is important, but ultimately that's not the circumstance that a lot of people would view as the ideal upbringing in terms of education. And
like, I mean, I was surrounded by other people who lived in a council estate, and I bear in mind, my parents still live in a council estate, and the people who live in council estates, there's absolutely nothing wrong there. Like, I would happily go back to a council estate, but your surroundings are very important. And what tends to happen is you're exposed to a lot more people who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, and that tends to have an influence on their mindset and outlook on life. I mean, that's just facts, people. So I was going around with the wrong crowd. I'm out in the streets drinking. I'm in underpasses. I start to be exposed to people doing drugs and stuff. And I was lucky to identify at a very young age that that wasn't the path I wanted to go down. I don't know what influenced me. It might have been the choice to join the military. I don't know what it was. But you are exposed to a lot more paths that are not going to lead you to good places. So I managed to get out of that path, and I managed to obviously realise the clarity and taking a step back and looking at my surroundings, essentially. And yeah, that comes down to accountability as well, Colin, you know?
It does.
That's my fault that I'm in these surroundings, so let's change them. It's simple.
Yeah, that's it. And like you say, it doesn't have to be everyone's goal to change your surroundings like that. But you, through the gym in many ways, started to get that motivation to do something quite special, or do something different within your lifestyle. You joined the military, you moved away from an environment where you felt that others around you and your peer group at school were not going to live a lifestyle that you wanted to lead. And that's allowed. Being conforming and being normal and following the path that everyone around you follows, that doesn't make everyone happy. It might make some people happy, or they might convince themselves it makes them happy, but it didn't make you happy. And the mindset that you have now, and the mindset you probably developed during that period, was never going to allow you to do that and be happy with yourself.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's crazy the change that's happened. Crazy.
Tell us a little about your early military career then, because we've spoken about the attitude and the mindset that you took into it. What were some of the headlines, and what were some of the things that went on during that period?
Well, when you first join, you're flung into these extremely stressful, like, surroundings and activities that you've never even thought of in your life, with 30 different people from all over the country, from different backgrounds, different races, different mindsets, like, and circumstances. So I think fundamentally, like, I developed a lot of really good people skills from that, in that 10 weeks basic training, because you're flung into this stressful environment and you have to become great friends and great peers with each other regardless. You eat with each other, you sleep with each other, not like that, oi oi, but you know, you're with each other 24 hours every day, and you regardless, you have to get on to finish your training. And that built good solid foundations for just general people skills. And you know how far people skills carry you in day-to-day life, Colin. It's crazy. So yeah, I finished that, and then obviously I started an apprenticeship in electronic and electrical engineering, and from there I was exposed to a whole lot of pretty cool, exciting stuff over the six-year period I was in the forces.
So Bryce, in terms of that early period in your military career, you've gone through basic training, it's been a real challenging experience, you've learned a lot from it, but what about things like your first deployment and what maybe some stories from that time about why you started to almost be fast-tracked through the Navy?
I would say that once we finished our training, and basically you join your first unit, Colin, you join a ship, that's what we call a unit, and I got drafted on a 9-month deployment after my first week of being on this first ship. So I was like, Christ, what the hell is going on? Like, this is mad. And during that trip, it was actually when all the ISIS stuff was kicking off. We went to the Gulf and it was 8 hours on, 8 hours off. Very strenuous kind of working standards. And I'm sharing a room at this point with six other guys. So it's quite stressful when it's 50 degrees heat, it's hot, you're hungry, like you miss family. It's stressful circumstances. And like, that was when the motivation kind of came from me in terms of seeing what other people's reactions to that circumstance was. Because I could see that people were like head down in the dumps, and I could see they weren't putting effort in, they were late, like they weren't shaving in the morning. They just, I could see them, people becoming tired and a little bit lethargic. And these were often people, by the way, may I say, that never trained and went to the gym during this time. And for me, I was still training every 8 hours, every time I went on to watch. And I had that opportunity to essentially finish a certain group of logbooks, which we called in the Navy task books, to get to a promotion. And a promotion I knew was available if I put in the work. And it was one of them, it was quite a big ask to do in 9 months, because this promotion could take people 5 years. And that's on average, maybe 4 to 5 years to get this promotion. And don't get me wrong, there was a gap, a massive gap for engineers at the time. But I decided I'm going to capitalise on that. Everyone's got the opportunity. You just have to capitalise on it. So, you know, when you're in them circumstances, it's really easy not to go the extra step to further your own career. And most people done that. They were just sitting, having conversations with each other. Oh, this is shit. I miss home. Whereas like, I was just like training, and I was just like involved in what I had to do to get to where I wanted to be, which was that promotion. Because ultimately, with promotion becomes more money. And for me at the time, it was of course a motivation. I was 20 years old. I wanted my own place, you know. I felt like I had something to prove coming from my background. And for me, it was really easy to just channel all my energy into training and work, because I'm at work. So let's go. And at the end of the day, I went that extra step. I put in the work, and actually coming back off that nameless deployment, after a few months, I did obtain an early promotion. And I'm not saying that I was ready for it, but I certainly earned it with my effort and my extra work. That's for sure.
That's one of my favorite stories that you told me three and a half years ago when we first met. We spoke about your background in the military, and you spoke about some of your proudest achievements. And you spoke from a place of pride, but you spoke from a place that that was the foundations of you proving yourself, in terms of proving yourself that your mindset for, that you'd learned from training and being in good shape had laid down, and proving yourself in terms of, I can be an asset to this organization. I can be an asset to the military. I can be an asset to the Royal Navy. And that if I apply myself relentlessly, I will get to where I want to be. And I know you're saying that maybe 4 or 5 years some people take to get that promotion. You did it in just under a year, roughly.
Well, two years of being in the forces. But
sorry, 2 years of in the forces.
Out of training, you know, about a year.
Which is, it at the time, I think it was you and a small other group of people who have ever done that. And
yeah.
It took me to draw that out of you to tell me that, because you were telling me, like, I was really pleased. I got through my deployment. In my deployment, I got through these task books, which a lot of my colleagues or the other people within my troop or my group weren't doing, and they were instead channeling their energy into negativity. And yeah, you were saying that you were just trying to plug yourself in and focus.
Yeah. And I was just capitalizing on it, man. When people aren't doing it and you're doing a little bit, you just stand out. Like, I was seeing it as all little opportunities every day to be like, oh, don't worry, mate, I'll do it. You just sit there, like, I'll do it, don't worry. Like, that's where it happens, man. A little bit of effort.
That's it. And that mindset that you had, it's quite funny. It didn't necessarily endear you to everyone. A lot of people liked you because you were maybe picking up some of their slack. But some people do feel uncomfortable with the focus that you bring. And I know there's people that I'm not the cup of tea because of the energy and the kind of relentlessness that I can sometimes bring to certain tasks. Some people think it's tiresome and they're like, oh, it's just not me. And I know that you've influenced that as well. And
we spoke about that a lot, actually. I can remember you and Ian came to mine over the dinner table and we were talking about, you know, in your professional environment, the fact that we actually have to like calm down and not say and act in certain ways to make people feel comfortable around us, man. That's a real thing. Like, we're intense guys, man. Yep. We are intense, and it isn't for everyone at all.
It's about channeling it, though, and you channeled it really positively. I try my very best to channel it positively. I'm trying to do that with the podcast. And during that appointment as well, there's maybe some things you want to share, but if not, we can move forward. But you got qualified. You were saving quite a lot of money during this period as well, weren't you? Because you spoke about you want to get promoted to get more money, but while you were away in deployment, you were also utilizing the time and you weren't maybe partaking in some of the cost heavy activities that your colleagues were.
Yeah, and again, this is a sacrifice. If you want to make progress, often it comes with sacrifice. And let me tell you, I made a few. And one of them was, I mean, the opportunity of the deployment, we're away for 9 months, and every same month or so, you stopped somewhere. So I'm talking maybe Gibraltar, Greece, Turkey, Lisbon, Dubai, Bahrain. And it's easy when you've been working really hard to think to yourself that entitlement, I deserve a break with the boys, and everyone's saying it. Oh yeah, we all deserve a break. Let's go out and let's have a few beers. We'll get a hotel. We'll go to the whorehouse. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrating and relaxing at all, but it just didn't suit my intentions and what I was looking to get. The sacrifice there, number one, was the fact that I almost secluded myself from the group. That's a massive sacrifice, Colin, when you're living with the guys. And I didn't always fit in that way. And the second one was the financial side of things. I wasn't going out and perhaps getting these experiences, which I might not ever get again, you know? Yeah. And that is a sacrifice. But I knew for me, what was more important at that current time was the fact that I wanted to get promoted, one. And two, I wanted to save up money so after the trip, I could buy my first place, my own place, man. At a young age, that was my thing. And it sounds bad, but at the time I maybe had an ego and I wanted to impress my parents and my friend group back home. I can buy a house at 20 years old. And disclaimer, I was away, Colin, and I was only on £20,000 a year.
Yep.
It's a pretty low wage, or perhaps at that level it was okay, maybe when you're 20, but £20,000, I had a new Audi, which was a stupid financial idea. But I still managed to save for a house, you know? Yeah. That's a sacrifice, man. I was earning like £1,300 a month or something.
Yeah.
Like,
it was something that I've spoken about before, both of yourself, but also I've managed to do it on the podcast as well and on Instagram. Delayed gratification. You delayed the gratification of going out with the boys, getting full of beer, maybe Coke, getting some hookers, whatever it was that the guys were up to, and all power to them making that decision. But you chose to delay that gratification and instead get the huge hit of gratification that was kicking off the number one goal, buy a house, buy a property.
Wild, that feeling, mate. Christ.
Yeah, you delayed those kind of smaller, fairly decent-sized hits of gratification that you could have got throughout that year, to instead get a whopping big one at the end. And what a feeling that was. And ultimately, it started to take you to a place where you are now, because that's forgotten.
Yeah, a lot of lessons learned from that. I mean, if I look at we talk about that at the time, that being a big sacrifice, but Christ, if you look at the bigger picture now, Colin, that wasn't a sacrifice for where I'm at now. Jesus, I'm just so happy that I made that decision, man, because it would have been so easy for me not to do it.
One of the things we've spoken about previously, and it's linked to what we're going to get onto with respect to property, which is a nice kind of segue and a stepping stone, is compound interest. And I know that's something that you believe very firmly in. Do you want to share with the listeners what that means and what it means in practice for Bryce Bell?
Yeah. So fundamentally, if people haven't heard of compound interest, it's a very, very powerful, simple financial tool that can transform your entire life. And my biggest advice is you can get on compound interest in many forms, but you need to get on it at some point pretty early to take full advantage of it. So for me, that outlet was when I got my first apartment, my dad said, Bryce, you should maybe overpay on your mortgage. That's a good financial decision. Now, I wanted to know more about it, so I researched it, and it has a name, which is what we're talking about, compound interest. And it's a little financial tool that if you overpay, and I'll explain it in a mortgage term because it's very simple to understand in a mortgage term. So if you have a mortgage, and at the time mine was £304 a month for my first apartment, I was doing an overpayment of £200 a month. And £200 is not a huge sum of money, but essentially you're saving money. The word compound, it speaks for itself. It has such a massive compounding effect over a long period of time. £200, so over a year, that's what, £2,400. That will save me like £10,000 in like 20 years' time. And I'm not exaggerating, folks. It's not exact. There's plenty of calculators online. But compound interest is something that young people, even if you're not interested in finances or buying a house, just learn about compound interest. And you can put £200 a month aside. You can retire as a millionaire by the time you're 65. Really, it's that powerful.
That's why it's such a powerful tool. And when you give that mortgage example, it's because the interest rates in our mortgage are fairly high compared to inflation and zero. Yeah. And by overpaying, you take that out of the game and you then start to gain money back in the long term. And it's related to the delayed gratification, isn't it? Where you've got this situation where you're delaying the gratification of that £200 every month, that extra 200, to then get gratification long term, where you unlock potentially 10,000 and more.
Crazy. I mean, people think, oh, so you're just paying off your mortgage early. It isn't that. You're paying an extra £200. So you're now not paying, say, 3.5% interest on that £200 for 30 years. Man, that's the effect that you have. So if you're paying off an extra £2,400 on your mortgage a year, you're not paying 3.5% interest on that for 30 years, Colin. That is huge, man. I remember telling this to Ian, your brother, over the first time I met Ian at a New Year party. Mind blown, mate. Ian was like...
He was on the floor.
Yeah, man. Like, guys, get on compound interest. Google it. But I have also further educated myself and understood now that it's a tool, you know. It isn't the answer. It's a tool that you can use. Because if you have capital, let's say that you don't want to overpay your mortgage with, if you can find another outlet that you're getting a higher return on your money instead of just 3.5%, then obviously compound interest might not be the best thing, but it's certainly a good financial decision if you're going to do it.
It can be applied to many areas as well. We've started talking about property, Bryce, which for the listeners' understanding was an area that after that first property continued to be a focus for you throughout your time in the military. And now beyond that in your new career, let's talk property, Bryce.
Let's talk, mate. Let's talk. So the first apartment that I actually bought, it kind of happened by accident. I moved into an apartment similar to yourself, Colin, quite a nice apartment, balcony and all that jazz, Patrick Bateman vibe. And mate, it was too orange and too magnolia for me. I'm a 20-year-old guy. Like, I want some whites, I want some greys, I want to freshen it up. So I just made it look how I wanted it to look. And I didn't have the money to do it. So I'd done it all myself. And I kind of realised, actually, I quite fancy getting a house. And I thought, I'll get the flat valued and see where we're at. And I accidentally kind of unlocked this path for myself that I realised, shit, man. Like, I've accidentally just made, like, 20 grand, like, if I want. Like, it just changed my whole mindset. I was like, I just sacrificed 9 months of my life working 16 hours a day for 20 grand a year, whereas I've just changed some tiles for laminate, I've wrapped my kitchen and painted some fucking walls, and I've made, like, the comparison in terms of time and effort, I was like, this could be something, man. Yep. So that was a big key point for my mindset shift in terms of money.
And the opportunity for money within property. But also it's again going to relate back to that euphoria that you get from focused hard work. not even hard work, because sometimes one of the funny things is sometimes if you go up against Bryce in a certain space or up against me in a certain space, we don't find particular things work, and that's where you're going to excel. And it'll be the same for you listening. There'll be certain things that you do that other people find really challenging and like work, but you don't. And that's where you will have an advantage if you then relentlessly do that. So Bryce relentlessly working on property, and then on his logbook and his task book in the Navy, the property side didn't feel much like work. You actually enjoyed it. And that's where you found that sweet spot. And unfortunately for people that want to go up against you in that space, you enjoy it, but you also are willing to work like a madman in terms of hours and intensity. Let's get into a bit of a story about the first really big project that you did beyond the first department and some of what that meant.
Oh man, I don't even know where to start with it. And you know that I don't know where to start with this because it's so much that I'm still reflecting on, and there's a lot of lessons to learn from it. But ultimately what Colin's kind of touched on is when something doesn't feel like hard work and it's productive, you make quite significant progress in it.
The gym. And
yeah, exactly, mate, the gym. And this project, essentially, all the money that I made from the first apartment, I fully just invested all of it back into sort of bigger, a pretty substantial project. And this is, I'm going to talk about shifting perspective here just to start this off, Colin. So
yeah, let's do that.
For the people who's listening, this house was back to bare brick. It had damp, it had floorboards that were rotten, it cracked, it was just a complete mess. And it's on the Instagram there for people to see as well, the whole entire journey of it. It was just an absolute shithole, what you would call a shithole. And I bought this place, and at the time, there was a three-week gap where obviously I had to move in with someone else, which was my friend Connor's parents. And this is the shift in perspective I had to have, right? Now, genuinely, just try and understand this. I moved in with these parents, and they said, how long are you going to be here for, Bryce? I said, well, I just need to get the property livable, you know? I just need to be able to live in it. So I'm talking a kitchen and a bathroom and somewhere to sleep. I said to them, Colin, I'll be out your hair in 2 weeks. I'm not a plumber. I'm not a joiner. I'm not a tailor. I haven't done any of this in my life. I just said, I'll get the house livable in 2 weeks. I'll be out your hair in 2 weeks. Colin, it took me a year and 3 months.
I know.
Can you picture the learning curve and the shift in perspective I had to go through in my head? Because that's a really hard thing to swallow, man. Like,
as someone that's been very successful in almost everything you've turned your hand to, you maybe felt initially that not achieving that 2 weeks was a bit of a hit to Bryce Bell, the kind of relentless success. Now, especially when you consider that we've touched on your background where you didn't feel like you were set up for success given the where you've come from. You weren't set up to be financially free by the age of 24, which we can maybe get onto. But ultimately, you switched your perspective, like you say, and this year and 2 month project?
Yeah, it was about a year and 3 months before I actually got to finish it and enjoy it.
Was an incredible period of time to watch from the outside. So to be within it must have been even more stark. Do you want to talk us through a little bit of that journey in as much as you can, because I know you are, like you say, still reflecting on it. It was a period of time ago now, but you are still digesting what actually meant for your life.
Yep. So when I got the keys for this place, obviously I had that 2 week window in my head that I thought I'd be in the house chilling. And I can remember when I brought my parents down to bring, like, Joe, when you get your parents to help you bring all your stuff to your gaff. So they all came down, and a couple of my friends and my family, and I could see their faces like they thought I couldn't see them, but I could see their faces looking at each other like, what has he done? Like, does he understand the workload, the mountain that is ahead of him? And I don't think I did. But the funny thing is, see, I was in the house for like an hour and I was already ripping wallpaper off, man. Like, I was so ready for this, just an outlet to focus and like almost find myself. It sounds so cringy. But that whole year and the few months, that was me, man. Like, no one else. It was just me who'd done the entire house. And it was such a steep learning curve as well. Very stressful. And you quite well describe it as burying yourself in a project. Yeah. And it was physically burying myself, but it never felt like it, Colin, because it was so mentally stimulating. I have never felt more powerful. I've never felt so more in control, and I've never felt more confidence in my life. That the ability that I realised that I had during this whole progress of the project, I felt unstoppable. I genuinely believe now from that I can do anything I want. And I genuinely am saying that with confidence. I'm not saying it to be an Instagram cringy quote. I have genuinely realised, man, that I can do anything that I put my mind to through sacrifice, hard work, consistency, accountability, responsibility, everything that we've talked about, all that together, oh man. And it paid off.
It was the encapsulation of everything that you'd learned in those previous years, and then you actually had to put it all into practice at once. Now,
yeah, man. It was like a test.
We're almost not doing this justice. So you had a shell of a house that you'd bought for a good price, appreciate that, but there's a reason it was that price.
Yeah.
And the job was that you were to renovate it. And mm-hmm. at the time, did you know that you wanted to then sell it, or did you want to live there?
Yeah, I mean, I sold it to my missus as we'll live here, but I 100% was utilising it as an investment, 100%, because I learnt my lesson from the flat and I thought it could be transferred into something bigger.
Great. So let's kind of fast track the story. You've spent this year, you've buried yourself in this project, you're still working for the Navy, you're still going away for periods of time. When you're back, what does a day look like? And some people will think you're mad when you tell them this, and that's fine.
Well, you know, I would be outside Screwfix at 5:45 in the morning before it's even open, with the tunes blaring, ecstatic, like actually ecstatic. Bear in mind, I was probably up at 4:45 to get down there outside the door ready with my whole list of the whole of the shop that I was buying, because I was just buying everything because I didn't even know what I needed, man. So I was starting that early, and I'm not just saying this to like inspire people, but I was genuinely there 5:45, and I was going home at 2 o'clock in the morning most days. And I'm not talking 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I'm talking, guys, 7 days a week, no company, on my own. Do you know that big Bluetooth speaker I was telling you about that I used to take to the gym when I first started? Just me and that speaker, mate. Me and that speaker in that house. And like I said, there was a point on a Saturday, and it was a particularly long shift. It was freezing. I hadn't ate, but I still felt pretty good. I was an absolute mess. I was soaking wet from doing tiling. And I'm driving back in along this road, and there's a nightclub in Falkirk called The Warehouse that everyone goes to on a Saturday. And I remember driving by there at 2 o'clock in the morning, covered in shit, tired, fucking hungry, and seeing all these people my age queuing up, I'm not saying wasting their money, they were putting their money elsewhere, you know, on new outfits all the time, every weekend, all the boozing up, trying to impress girls.
Kebabs, taxis.
And there's me, man. No one even knows I exist. And there's just me and my fucking vibe shell, my old Audi now, driving by, like, man, see the feeling I got, just the fact that I was there and they were there, and I knew, I just felt like I was in the right place for me, making the right decisions, sacrificing all that for what I'm going to have in a year's time. It was so empowering, Colin.
Yeah.
So empowering.
Now, let's fast forward. The house is ready. It goes on the market. I remember the reaction was genuinely incredible, and I'm not overstating that, because you asked a few of us to share it on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put it up on Rightmove. Is that the platform that you use?
Yeah, right.
What happened when you put this house up on a street in Falkirk where nobody had ever sold a property for that value before in their lives?
So, well, I'll give people numbers. Would that be beneficial?
Let's do numbers if you're comfortable doing numbers, Bryce.
So, the highest price, exception from one property in that street, the highest sale price in history of that street was around £150,000. And two houses sold, my next door neighbour, actually, for reference, sold for £149,000. And when I put my house up, obviously I was a little bit sceptical of what the final number would be, but we managed to achieve £198,000. So that's a pretty significant upscale in terms of the value of that street, just for that one property. And yeah, it was extremely impressive. I had my doubts, of course, but it paid off hugely, Colin. And obviously, everyone did share it, and it got a great reaction. I was really happy with
the number of viewings you had and the amount of interest in initial bids was mind blowing. And you were a little bit taken aback because although you were confident you'd done a good job,
yeah, man,
you were still lost in the project. You were buried, as we've said before.
Yeah. I mean, we put it up, and before it was even on the market, we had viewings. Before it was on the market, and within one day of it being on the market, we had 19 viewings, Colin. 19 in one day. Yeah. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
And it was the boost that you needed, because you needed, and we've spoken about this before, sometimes we seek validation. And when you were back doing the Instagram, for those that don't know, Bryce had like 25,000 followers on Instagram. He had a YouTube that was popping off at the time. It was very niche within the fitness industry, but it had a real cult following. And yeah, we've spoken about validation and needing that sometimes. You needed a little bit of reassurance that what you'd done was right. And
without a doubt.
But you didn't just need people to come and view it. You needed somebody to put their cash where their mouth was and buy it, because that would have been all for nothing. You could have had 50 viewings, because it was nice to look at. I looked at it, I couldn't believe what you'd built. But
yeah,
like, it didn't fit in with the rest of the street. That's all I'm saying. In terms of it was so nice, and just so, like, obviously there was nice houses on that street, but this was just like a cut above, and that's why it got an extra 50 grand.
Yeah, there was skin in the game, Colin. It wasn't just money that I put into it. Obviously, I had a lot of money stuck in the house as well. But see the effort and the time that and the sacrifice that I put into that house, because it was a year without a day off. And I'm not even complaining. Like I said, I've never felt better in my life. It's the happiest I've ever been, Colin. And I actually look back and reflect on the guy that I'm watching on these videos doing the tiling at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, who is that guy, man? I'm like, that guy's crazy. Look at him go. It's phenomenal to think back on. But the reassurance was genuinely like, oh. Because if I never received the reassurance that it was a good thing, man, it would have been pretty heartbreaking, not going to lie.
Now, this was hugely successful for you. You got that huge sale price, that huge return on your investment. You'd still been working in the Navy. So what was your shift pattern again?
Actually, it wasn't strenuous at the time, I've got to say, Colin. I got positioned back home, and I was actually working maybe 5 hours a day. So it's quite convenient for the time of the project. But the guys at my work thought it was crazy as well, because, you know, they were frequently inviting me out to go to Nando's every night and taking the foot off the gas and relaxing. And they thought I was genuinely insane. Like, they thought I was insane because they seen it firsthand. They seen me every day. So they seen every single day what I was going through and what I was doing and how excited I was about it.
But even then, if you hadn't had those 5 hours, you would have got the project done even faster, which is quite funny when you think about it.
I know, for sure.
This was yet another launch pad moment. It was a milestone within your life. You went on to leave the Navy and move on to a career in engineering elsewhere. But what did this property experience teach you, and what has it set you up to now do?
So I've realized, I mean, the biggest thing I've realized, and I learned so much from it, and I'm glad I've been exposed to learning property from the ground up, you know, from the proper bottom level of it. But time is extremely valuable, Colin. And yes, we're talking numbers, financial numbers, and how great that was, but you need to look at the investment also of time, man. Because I'm not exaggerating, these shifts were extremely long every single day, man. That's a lot of time. And see if you broke that down into an hourly kind of rate. I don't know what it would work out as.
We spoke about this, didn't we? Because you put in so much time and effort. The monetary return was great, but it also taught you a lot. But likewise, we spoke about efficiency. So if you were to buy another shell of property again,
yeah,
you might outsource some of the stuff that you did. You might be more aware of what you're buying in terms of the challenges that were in place in that property. But let's talk more about your strategy now and where you're going.
So for me now, I've actually got a mentor who teaches me, obviously a mentor being someone who's where I want to be and who's achieved and went through everything that I've that I'm looking to go through, and I'm not going to have to go through to get to where he is. But essentially, he's taught me the value of time. And obviously, I've went through the process of having experience in property. So now I know and understand that I just need to be better at doing my numbers, and then I can afford to pay people to do the work, so I save my time and focus on the business. You know, I could not upscale a business if I was doing 14-hour shifts. It's actually not that much to brag about. It was great for my mindset, and it's built up some fucking awesome characteristics. But, you know, it's not a good thing to say I'm doing 14 hours a day, because I can't upscale that in a business. It's not efficient, Colin. Yep. And it's funny, because my dad, he came to me one day, and that's when I discovered David Goggins, and I was reading his book, and I was just in a place, obviously, with this project that I resonated with what he was preaching so much, which is, the world doesn't owe you anything. No one gives a fuck. Do the hard work. That's what he preaches. That's what I believed, man. That's what I believed. Calluses, bro. Calluses. And my dad said to me, you know, Bryce, but you need to understand that the example he gave me was, if you were doing tiling and you made 5 mistakes in a row and you were angry, frustrated, do you think it would be good to continue, or should you go home and continue the next day with clarity? You know, yeah. Like actual logic, like think about it. Are you just a relentless idiot? Are you a busy idiot? How are you investing your time?
Yeah.
So for me, that was like, whoa, like that's another thing I need to learn, man. I need to get experience in that. So for me going forward, I'm going to see how I can utilize other people's time, you know, at getting better at what I want to do, which is obviously property development. So I need to get better at that.
Yeah. You've bought your home now where you're going to be settled, and you've done a bit of work on that. We won't get into that, because that's another podcast in itself. But you've got a home now where, because of the work that you did in the first property, the second property, mm-hmm. and then your career outside that, where you've earned a good wage as an engineer, you've been able to buy a property which effectively makes you settled and financially free to live there. Incredibly important, and it allows you the freedom to explore this property business, which you know long term will be what you want to do.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And it's funny, because see anyone our age, Colin, and we like nice stuff, and we like to look good and all that stuff. We like to have a good impression on people. We like to just look overall good to the external world, I suppose, as does everyone. Everyone's flexing on Instagram, you know. Do you know when you get that money and you realise how tempting it is to go buy a stupid car? Or, like, I could have went and bought, like, a big old fancy house, barely in a work away, which would be pointless, but, and I would have to, like, shackle myself again to these massive bills and this massive leverage. Like, that's what people are doing, man. And it's really easy to fall into that trap. Like, I've downsized, man. I'm in a 2-bedroom, semi-detached house. Like, I could go buy something a bit more extravagant to impress the external world, but I'm so glad I made the decision to downscale, you know, reduce my expenses further. And I don't even have a car on finance, man. My car's 11 years old. Like, I'm not trying to impress people.
Yeah.
I'm downsizing so I can be efficient, and so I can then take risks in my business, because I'm inexperienced, Colin. I'm learning, and I'm setting myself up so I can do damage limitation and minimise risk for a business. So,
yeah. The house you own is lovely. Just so you don't do yourself down too much, Bryce. but bear in mind you bought that Audi when you were
18.
At the time, it gave you a lot of flexing points on Instagram. That's it, because you've flogged it so much, it's not worth so much now. The last thing I wanted to touch on, Bryce, before we close off, and if people have really enjoyed this, Bryce will come back on for another episode. If you give us another strict topic, we'll go for it. But you spoke about David Goggins there. You brought up self-development. Now, we've actually laughed about this before, where you've said, I'm not like an educated guy. But,
I'm not.
But you are clever, and that's what people will forget. And when it comes to self-development, you've never been a massive reader, but there's been a couple of sources that you've read, and this is similar to what we've said in the podcast previously. You just need to find those right sources that tick the box for you. And you've told me before, how many books have you read?
Look, it's going up.
It's going up. But like, that's not a criticism of your intellect.
You've read a small number. Seriously, like, if I've seriously read, I'm talking three books.
Yeah. And the important part is every single one of those three has had a significant impact on your mindset and your output. You took action on those. I've read loads of self-development books and there's a percentage of those that I haven't taken action on because it didn't resonate with me. And I was kind of, the awful phrase is, I threw so much shit at the wall and I hoped that some of it would stick. And thankfully some has. And then some books absolutely smashed me and they moved me forward. But
yeah.
But others didn't. But you picked a small number. You're not a voracious reader. You're not somebody that absolutely loves picking up books. You're starting to get towards that now. I know we've spoken about that. But David Goggins was one. And what were some of the others? And what did you learn from them, Bryce?
So, Joe, I'm just going to say a point there, Colin. I think it's really important to read books that are in a line with where you're currently at, like your current thought process and your current position. Like, I read David Goggins when I was in the trenches, I call it, with that house, you know, and that was just exactly what I needed because it was reassurance. That was like my mentor. That book was like my mentor and reassurance going through that process that it's worth it. And this is what's going to make you fulfilled, like the dark man, the grit. And I don't want to sound like Gary Vee, but the other books that I've read is How to Win Friends and Influence People. Really basic, really easy to understand. And more importantly, and you're a big advocate of this, it's really easy to take action on, Colin. Really small, subtle changes.
Yeah, I remember us speaking and you saying to me, that's the and this is before you'd read Goggins. You said that's pretty much the favorite book that I've read, and it's a book that had so much impact on you because it is simple. There's little things. So like one of the big things I remember from it is somebody else's name is the most beautiful sound in the English language to them. So when I speak to people, I use their name. I make sure I remember people's name because they value that. Whereas I've spoken to somebody before who I've approached and I admire, and they've forgotten my name instantly, and I hated that. Whereas given the small level of Instagram notoriety I've got in fitness, if I meet somebody in the gym and they introduce themselves to me, I make damn sure that I remember their name because it's important to them and it's important to me. It's important to me. So that particular book had a huge impact on me, and I know how much it had an impact on you. And
yeah,
it just goes to show that we want to keep underlining when it comes to self-development, you don't need to read everything. You don't need to listen to everything. You just need to find the right stuff and take action on it relentlessly.
Take action. Like, that is honestly, see to everything. We could have literally summed up this podcast and just take action, couldn't we?
Yeah.
That is the simple answer. People are looking for like a really easy thing to understand that's going to lead to fulfillment and success. And fulfillment is the important thing here because that is success. It is just take action. It's that simple, folks. Take action.
I love that. And we've spoken a lot about personal responsibility. We've spoken about taking action. And ultimately, hopefully today, you've enjoyed the fact that we've spoken about the euphoria that you can find and the fulfillment you can get from focused work. And Bryce's story is hopefully a testament to that. And that story is only really just beginning. It's in its early chapters and something that's going to continue. If people want to connect with you, Bryce, where's the best place for them to go?
Like you said, Colin, my content creation is somewhat behind me now. I'm still somewhat active on Instagram. I don't really post much, but my personal Instagram, I believe, I don't even know, is BryceBell95.
I'll put it in the description box so people can connect. Yep. If you've got questions about property, mindset, even if you've got questions about getting into fitness, Bryce is somebody that is worth having a conversation with and somebody that I'm really proud to be able to call my friend. If you're still with us at this point, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple. Take a screenshot, pop it in your Instagram story, share it with a friend, share it with somebody that needs to hear this message, and I'll speak to you all again very soon.